This is episode 6 on the Pressure Outdoors podcast. This week's episode is brought to you by Sportsman Shield. It's a durable outdoor decal that makes thieves believe your trail camera has a GPS tracking system inside. Fool thieves, hunt more, worry less. You can get 20% off your next order with code UPOUTDOORS20 at checkout. Capital U, capital P, capital O, and outdoors 2020 at checkout. So hop on their website, give them a look, and order you some stickers. And then hunt more and worry less.
I want to put one of them on my Yeti cooler. Ooh, the smoke is bad.
That wouldn't be a bad thing to invent.
What's that?
Some kind of GPS you could put on your... Yeah. Or you just don't buy an expensive cooler.
Hey, I like my Yeti cooler.
Okay? I like my Yeti cooler too.
But... I didn't buy my Yeti. It was a gift.
Well, lucky you. Nobody's going to buy me a Yeti cooler.
I got gifted it too, and I got gifted an Arctic, so...
Yeah, you got that from your work.
Yeah.
Whew. I got laps around this fire.
So I'm going to go ahead, and I'll openly admit right now that we thought no less than 5 minutes ago we recorded this hour-long podcast.
From my shirt pocket.
Only for me to... take the phone, open it up, and look at it to find out that I recorded about 6 seconds and then somehow stopped the recording. So we're back.
Technical difficulties.
Hour two.
Episode 6, part 1-2.
2.0.
So we're going to go over again food plots versus feeders. And the pros and cons of each. And the big thing with a food plot versus a feeder is that the food plots are legal in a whole lot more places than feeders are. Than directly feeding deer with supplemental feed. Most of the time, most people use corn. You can use other stuff. Like if you listen to episode 4, when we were headed to Georgia, my dad was feeding with, say, wheat? Feeding wheat.
What? Out of a feeder?
No. They were just feeding wheat. I don't think they had feeders at that time. That's when they first started
hunting
in Georgia.
Yeah.
You feed wheat. And you said you fed soybeans?
Yeah, keep bears out of it. Or crack corn. Sometimes crack corn.
So there's a whole long list of pretty much anything that's a seed that's like that you could feed.
That's not going to, you know, fall through that hole in the feeder too much.
Right. Yeah. That's not too big that's going to clog that hole either.
Or mineral blocks.
Now, yeah, that's a whole other topic.
Yeah.
Because, and I covered this in episode 4, where the state of Tennessee, you can have a mineral lick out. It's legal to have that as long as it doesn't have any particles of feed in it.
Yeah.
Because you have like those, the Big and J protein blocks. They've got pieces of food, corn and stuff like that in them. I'm not a fan of those. I had...
The weather gets to them.
Yeah. So that was our first one. Then the second year, that guy didn't get the lease back, and we got on lease with another guy. And the year after that, we started leasing our own property. And been leasing my own property ever since. It's been just about... 30 years I can remember when I started hunting in Ocala. Going to Ocala, I had a bag phone because my wife was pregnant with you.
Yeah.
And so that was 30 years ago, so almost 30 years ago. So I guess I've been probably hunting in Georgia for 29 years.
So you didn't hunt very long in Ocala then?
2 or 3 years, but yeah, not a whole lot. When I first started hunting in Georgia, I was still hunting a little bit in Ocala, but that I quickly got away from it once I started seeing deer in Georgia and how much better it was.
Yeah.
So
that's why I don't hunt a lot. Hunt a lot of deer in Florida. Not opposed to it. I did it with I've hunted in Ocala as well with Clint, and I've seen some good deer come out of Ocala.
Oh yeah.
And I saw some good deer while I was hunting in Ocala. A real nice 8-point, but he stayed 70 yards outside. You know, he's 70 yards just out of bow range. But the good thing about hunting in Ocala is that you can, when your bow, when it's bow season, you're in the rut in Ocala.
Yeah.
So you can actually go and bow hunt the rut.
And that's how I killed the first deer that I killed. The first buck I killed was in Ocala, and it was chasing a doe.
Yeah. That's the cool thing about Florida. If you did whitetail hunt Florida on public land, you could bounce from public to public and hunt the rut from July all the way to February.
Oh, yeah. I've got guys I work with that hunt down South Florida.
Yeah.
And they kill some decent bucks.
There's just some. There's been a lot of bigger bucks coming out of Florida recently. Big rack bucks. One thing you definitely see a lot bigger of in Georgia is bigger bodied deer.
Yeah, it used to be everybody would say, oh, yeah, you should hunt them dogs in Florida. Yeah, that, them deer ain't much bigger than dogs, but that's not so much the case anymore. In certain areas they're losing their habitat, but then, you know, you drive other areas of Florida and all you see is trees and pine trees. And so it's, it just depends on where you're at. I mean, heck, you can go around Orlando, Orange County, and if you can afford to pay what it costs to hunt in some of the leases, but there's even some good areas, Green Swamp.
I'll tell you, the best place in Florida to kill some of the biggest deer and mallards and everything else, you just got to be real careful, Disney.
Yeah.
I've seen some big deer working out on Disney property.
Deer with mouse ears.
Yeah.
Guy worked several years ago. His brother-in-law had a lease out near Disney. And he went out there. He'd go out there after work because it was 30 minutes from the shop. And they'd go out there after work. And he shot a decent buck. He'd come in with a picture of it. And I took that picture and made a copy of it, put it on the computer, edited it, and drew mouse ears, a Mickey Mouse hat on it. And then sent it out to everybody. Maurice's buck. It had Mickey Mouse ears on it. He didn't think it was that funny, but everybody else did.
Well, that's all that matters.
That's right.
I mean, we pick on Briar. He don't always find it that funny, but he's not even with us this week.
No, Briar's buying a house.
Yeah, buying
a
house.
So he's saving his pennies.
Yeah.
I bet if he quit dipping, he could save dollars.
Well, yeah, he dips that Copenhagen stuff $7-$8 a can.
Yeah.
Could save money by just switching to something not
well,
something expensive.
Well, he could have saved money if he'd have come with us to Georgia, and he could have bought it up here and saved $2, $3 a can.
Yeah. That's why I'm going to buy me a roller dip before I go back down to Florida. But
Briar's a good old guy.
He is a good guy. So when did you start, when you first started hunting in Georgia, it wasn't legal to bait, was it?
No.
Did y'all plant food plots then?
No, we baited anyway.
Okay.
We just didn't get caught. we baited in the off season, and what we started baiting with first was wheat.
Really?
We got wheat from a guy, and we started baiting with wheat, and it was the smell of the wheat was so strong, you know, when you dumped it out, you could smell it throughout the woods.
Right.
And then, of course, we put out salt blocks for the deer in the summertime. And, you know, inevitably, if the salt block disappears in the dirt or on a stump, the deer are going to keep coming back to that spot. But no, we didn't.
Did they consider that bait at that time, mineral licks like
that? Oh, yeah. Oh,
really?
Yeah.
Because I know when I hunted in Tennessee, we weren't allowed, you're not allowed to put out corn for deer, but you could put out, you could hunt over a mineral rock, like trophy rock or salt lick or whatever, as long as it didn't have particles of feed in it, like you've seen some of those protein
right.
bricks.
I never had much luck with those protein bricks. The birds liked them, but
I had a coon carry off a half one. We put out one and a coon, and it ended up
it didn't hold together really well through the rain.
Right.
And the coons carried it off in chunks.
I don't know if you remember that. I had a tree stand on a lease in Blakely. And we had that lease for probably 10 years. And there was a stump that I would put a salt block on.
Yeah, down from the greenhouse.
Every year. And after about 5 years, I never had to put another salt block on it. And the deer would come back to that stump, and it was just licked out, ate out, dug out. If you wanted to kill your limit of dove, you could have just about done it on that salt lick. Because the dove would come to it, and the deer would come to it. So, you know, if you're going to put a salt lick out or mineral block, find you an old stump, stick it on a stump. If you don't have hogs, now if you got hogs, that's a different story because they're going to kick that dang thing around like a beach ball.
Yeah. Well, hogs weren't that bad back then.
No, they weren't. They didn't get bad until probably at least where we were. I know other parts of Georgia, but over in near the Cuthbert and Randolph County area, they weren't that bad. Not as bad as they've gotten. And they didn't get bad. I think allowing you to feed and hunt over corn has probably caused the hog population to rise. Because, you know, unless you're going to put a fence around your feeder and keep them out, you put corn out or a feeder, you're going to have hogs.
Yeah, I was going to say.
If you're near water or swamp or whatever, the hogs are going to find it. When the hogs find it, I don't believe that they run deer off, but they do compete. And I've seen on trail cameras, I'll see a hog there, and 10 minutes later, the hogs are gone, the deer are there, and 10 minutes later, the hogs are there. So
they won't completely run deer off, but they will chase deer off a feeder or out of a food plot.
Now, where we're at now, I've seen deer, turkey, and coons all eating at the same time at a feeder. We have not, knock on wood, seen any hogs yet. I'm sure they're out there, but we have not seen them on the current lease we have. So
you talk about putting that fence around the feeder. You had that was already there in place on the lease in, where were you at? What's that area considered over there?
Shelman. Yep.
And that wasn't but about a knee-high fence.
Yeah, the guy, whoever leased it before us, had put... It was, you can buy that fence from like Tractor Supply or a feed store. It comes in panels.
Yeah.
And what they did was cut them panels. They're probably 4 feet high and maybe 20 feet long or 15 feet long. And they cut them in half and then drove T-post in the ground and attached them panels and put them around the feeder to keep the hogs from getting to the feeder. And it works. It keeps them out.
That really kept those hogs off of that property until towards the end of your time there.
Oh, yeah.
You didn't have a lot of them in there because your feeders had that fence around them.
First couple years, we didn't. First year, we didn't see any. Next year, we seen a couple. The next year, they were all over the place.
Yeah.
And some of it could have been the weather. We had a lot damper, a lot more rain. So... That old boy was getting a drug,
walking
the line there. Popo had him
just inside the Georgia state line.
Got to watch them Camden County cops.
Surprised we didn't see when we came over the bridge there.
I know they sit here all the time. Waze traffic app. If you got the Waze app, use it. It works. Tells you where the police are. Tells you when there's a car on the side of the road. An accident, traffic, Waze, W-A-Z-E. I may be pronouncing it wrong, but whatever, Waze or Waze, it works.
I think that's how you say it, is Waze.
But, you know, when you're hunting on a budget, you dang sure don't need a speeding ticket.
No, you don't. That you don't.
We don't need
a speeding ticket when you're not hunting on a budget.
We were hunting in Blakely and had two guys that I worked with at the gas company, Larry and Al, and we were coming up one night. We'd take the back way. Could have come up into Tallahassee and come up 27. And we found a back way in. And we were coming up one night. And I was doing about 65, 67. And I come around a bend. I seen the car coming ahead of me. It passed me. I seen a star on the side of the door, and I went, oh. I just pulled over. He whipped around, and he come up to me, and it was a Georgia State Trooper. He says, step out of your car, and I come to the back of my truck. He says, what you in a hurry for? I said, oh, I'm just going to the hunt camp, trying to get up there. He says, where are you hunting at? And I told him, it's over by the Colomokee Mounds. He said, well, that's a good area. He says, do you know how fast you were going? I said, well, not really, but I'm sure I was speeding. He said, man, he said, you're the fastest. I've been working since 5 o'clock this morning. You're the fastest thing I've seen all day. I said, I bet you want my autograph, don't you? He says, you know how much that ticket had cost you in Florida? I said, a whole lot more than it's going to cost me here. He said, well, he said, you're a hunter. He said, you can't be too bad. He said, I'm going to cut you a little bit of slack. So that ticket would have probably cost me $150 or $200 in Florida, and it was a $50 ticket in Georgia.
That's not bad.
No, he was good. He was a nice guy. He was doing his job. I was speeding.
Can't fault him for that.
No.
So when did you start planting food plots for deer?
We started planting food plots when we were in Blakely. And, hunting on a budget and doing it, as inexpensively as we could. I took an old disc off a Sears and Roebuck tractor and built a frame for it. Made it where I could put a couple cinder blocks on it. And we could pull it with our four-wheeler. And we bought a pull-behind mower that we could pull behind the four-wheelers to mow the trails. We bought that disc, and we started discing. We'd make a food plot maybe 20 yards wide and just in a patch of woods where we could, it was a clearing. And we never did, when you're, it's like shooting craps when you're planting a food plot. You don't know what you're going to get weather-wise. And summer plots, you're damn if you do, damn if you don't. You're going to get, if it's going to be dry, if it's going to be wet. So we always mixed our own up. We buy wheat, we buy oats, winter peas, or winter plot, ryegrass, and mix it all together in a bucket and spread it. Get a spreader and pull behind the four-wheeler. Pull that disc. I can remember pulling that disc, and when we didn't get enough weight to break the ground up, we'd have somebody stand on the back of it and pull it around with a four-wheeler. it would get quite comical. Or we'd just plant a trail down the side of a trail. Anything to get the deer to come and browse. Deer are browsers, so they're gonna eat a little bit here and a little bit there. And we started doing food plots because, hunting over bait wasn't legal. And we figured it was better for the deer anyway. And in the summertime, we'd go out and we'd plant iron clay peas, or we'd throw in bird seed. Iron clay peas and bird seed. And we had pretty good success. Sometimes you would, sometimes you wouldn't. We didn't go into all the checking the pH and all that. We just, because it really wasn't, we weren't putting that much money into it. And trying to do it as inexpensively as we could. We'd get some 888 fertilizer or 10-10-10, throw it out and hope for the best. That's about all you can do when you're doing little stuff. So,
we had the food plot we did last year on this place up here, where we bought enough brown top sorghum for
brown top millet.
We did millet. You're right. Got enough millet to do, I think, 4 acres worth. I want to say it was an acre a bag, and we got about maybe 4 bags worth of that, and then we got 2 bags of lime for every bag of millet, which is what it called for. And I think we spent $180 on all that, and we did it to hunt dove over. But the millet never got never got tall enough for the WD. The deer just absolutely destroyed it all through the summer. And between that and planting iron clay peas, which you don't seem to have nothing to get those to grow.
No.
And they come in great, even underneath the pine trees and everything else where the soil's real acidic and stuff like that, they still came through nice and tall and green.
Well, the whole idea with the food plot is to have something green out there when everything else in the woods dies in the wintertime, to have something green right out there when everything else is dying. You know, they're going to eat briars and everything else. I'm trying to think of the name of the plant. Privy hedge. It grows over where we're at. There's probably a little bit of it over here on this side of Georgia, but there's a lot of it. And it gets little black berries on it in the wintertime.
Yeah.
And the leaves fall off of little black berries. They'll eat them leaves. They'll eat them berries. We could see spots where you could see where they've been standing all night long and their feet just right there along a privy hedge. And stuff grows wild, almost like kudzu. Grows down fence rows real good. And it's just a wild, I don't even think it's a native plant. I think it's probably something somebody brought in. But, you know, the whole idea with a winter food plot is to give them something green.
Right.
And a summer food plot with the clay peas, that's to get them in bow range. And Austrian winter peas is something else we put in there. Australian or Austrian. And like the food plots we planted this year, I got the blend mix that BWI puts out. And then I bought a couple bags of winter peas to throw in there extra along with some turnips. It did real good. The food plots we planted have just been, they're just mowed. Everything's mowed down. The winter peas, they nibble them to where there's nothing. If you go up there now and look at the food plot, it looks like, well, it's not much. It's green, but it's not growing much. But you look out there in it, it's covered with tracks.
It's because they're eating it down.
That's right.
Yeah. Yeah, you've come a long way since you got started from a four-wheeler with a homemade disc to a tractor and a rotor tiller. Yeah.
Little John Deere 790 does the trick. Bigger one would be nice, but the price was right on the one I got, and it does all we need. Jordan keeps telling me I quit using it as a bulldozer. Well, it's got a bucket on it, so I can push and clear whatever I can push and clear.
Well, I remember when you pushed and cleared all that privy hedge out to make that camp at the second place in Blakely.
Yeah. That's what I used. I had Paul's tractor for that.
Did you?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
But same size, though. Actually,
yeah, that little Kubota.
Yeah.
But, it's amazing what you can do with a little piece of equipment. You just got to do it a little bit at a time. So don't think just because you got something small, you can't do it. You got to do it smaller increments. But I'm happy to have a tractor, isn't it? Now, you know, I waited so many years without a tractor, and then when I finally got one, you boys are big enough to get on it. Now Jordan won't hardly let me get on it. I'm sure it'll be even worse now that where he's working for Superior right away. Running equipment for them, he'll probably be, you know, I ain't gonna be able to get on it and do anything right. So he'll know how to do it all.
You think you can get them to sponsor a podcast?
Nah, I don't know. Dale's pretty tight. I don't know. You would throw enough bones out there for them, they just might.
Yeah, we'll see.
Dale helped me with food plots this year. He disced them, and I came behind, and I like using a little hand spreader because I can cover what I want to cover better. It's a little more work. It takes a little longer, but I'm not wasting so much seed. I can, if I want to do a 5 foot wide trail that I did with the rototiller, I can take that hand spreader and keep it pretty much in there without wasting and throwing a bunch of extra seed. Where if I'd have had a broadcast spreader hooked on the back of a four-wheeler on the back of my tractor, you'd have seed everywhere.
And I'll tell you, when we had that little piece of property in Tennessee that we hunted when I was up there, we had a broadcast spreader towards the end that we were going to use to plant food plots. And then we ran, and that food plot, the big plot we planted or intended to plant with it, we ran down the middle of it with the four-wheeler. And it threw seed, and it was 50 yards wide.
Oh, yeah.
By 280 yards long. And it threw seed from one side of the food plot to the other.
Yeah.
And I said, we can't do this. So we got a bag spreader.
You're
throw it over your shoulder and started walking up and down there.
Yep. You're wasting too much seed. It's okay if you're fertilizing, because the fertilizers, it's okay to do that with fertilizer, but you want to keep your seed in your ground that you got tilled up good.
Yeah.
So, you know, we disc it, and I spread it and hooked up to on a budget again, instead of buying an expensive drag, I had an old chain link fence gate. It was 4 feet wide and about 10 feet long. I tied a piece of rope to it, hooked it up behind the Ranger, and went to town dragging.
That's the same thing we did. So we had a piece of chain link fence with 4x4s on the end of it.
Done that before too. 4x4s, throw an old tire on it or put a little weight on it.
I think we got you beat on the four-wheeler part, though. We found our disc, broke down, fixed it up, and then we hooked it up to the back of a little Toyota pickup truck.
Yeah.
Because we didn't have a four-wheeler.
You know, whatever you got to do to make it work.
And we did. And it worked. But
it's nice to graduate it from a four-wheeler to a Polaris Ranger. I don't know that I would ever want to go back to a four-wheeler after having that Ranger. It's definitely a lot better on your back.
Oh, no doubt.
You can carry more people, carry more period, more gear, more deer. Throw your seed in the back, throw your corn in the back. So
I would love to get one, but on the new side, they are not cheap.
No.
And on the used side, there's so many people now that just tear them up. I'm scared to trust them.
Yeah, I'd never buy one with a snorkel.
No. Shoot, you can't find a used four-wheeler anymore that doesn't have a snorkel on it and all that. And I don't want somebody else's problems.
Nope.
You know.
Ran great when I had it. Yeah, well.
Yeah, everything like that runs great until you sell it. Perfect example for Jordan's boat.
Yeah.
Which, after last week's fix, is now broke again.
Yeah.
I think we got a day and a half out of it.
Look, if you're going to buy a duck boat, don't buy one with a souped-up motor. You know, it ain't no different than buying a dirt bike. If you buy a dirt bike and you got it all souped up, you're going to be working on it all the time. Well, that's the same way with that mud boat. I bought it with a souped-up motor. Yeah, it'll run like a scalded dog when it runs, but...
Shoot, you ain't kidding.
You it spend ran more time fixing it.
31 miles an hour with all four of us in it.
And it wasn't nothing. It wasn't four small people either.
No. Briar was in there. Y'all have seen him on the live video before. Me, I'm not a small guy by any means. The only small one was Jordan.
And he was driving. What'd y'all name his boat? Johnny Cash?
Yeah, because you get it one piece at a time.
Yeah.
No, that boat has not been officially named yet, but I think he's going to call it the Coot Shooting Boogie.
Yeah, traveling north of Georgia, I don't know how many trips I've made. I can about do it blindfolded, but that probably wouldn't be too good. I've put a lot of miles on a lot of trucks. 2016 Chevrolet 2500, and I just turned over 89,000 miles on it. So I've made quite a few trips to Georgia since I bought it. But
you bought it brand new, didn't you?
Brand new.
Yeah.
Yeah. But I like it.
But you still haven't put as much miles on a truck as you did on that old GMC.
No, my GMC. I had when the reverse went out in it, I had 197,000 miles on it. And it was still running good. And I could have probably put a couple thousand dollars into a transmission, but I sold her for what I could get out of it and bought another Chevrolet. So.
But I haven't had a Chevrolet let me down yet. Even when the transmission went out on that red truck, I still drove it home and got it to the dealership the next day.
Was that transmission or brain? Which
time?
Yeah, okay.
Both times I still drove to the dealership.
Yeah.
But the transmission went out on it shortly after we got it. But even then, it had 100...
Oh, yeah, it had
170,000 miles on it when the transmission went out.
Yeah.
That was a 2003. And it lost top gear. I could still get up 45 miles an hour without revving it too high, but I couldn't go further than that. But got it fixed and it ran fine. The only issue it ever really had was the transfer case. Where the transfer case, that little pump in the transfer case, wore the hole in the side of the block.
Yeah.
But
somehow it got water in it. I don't know how that happened. I don't even want to know.
Why? Yeah,
it's probably Ian's fault.
It was Ian's fault.
Yeah,
Ian, I hope you listen to this. You can back me up. You were the one that got my truck stuck that night, not me.
Yeah, it was funny. We got the brain replaced in it because it had water in it. The service manager at Van Ganaway, he says, this truck's been in some water. I said, yeah. He said, yeah. He said, you're going to need a new brain, $1,000. I went, really? Okay. So, William took the loan out from Mom and Dad, paid it back on a $1,000 brain. They put a new brain in it, and about a week later, started doing the same thing. So, took it back, and they had to replace the brain again for free this time because the water that had got in it had went up the wiring harness and worked its way back out of the wiring harness back into the brain again. So, they replaced that one on their dime. But, I'm sure it was something to do with Ian.
It was.
But, Chevrolets don't make good boats.
No. No, they don't. So, what kind of tree stands were you hunting out of?
Oh, man.
Besides other people's.
The old Warren and Sweat. Warren and Sweat climbing stands was my first climber was one that I borrowed from my brother, and it was a Barrett lock on. It had these thin, they were about an inch and a half wide strap, and it had little holes, and it slid around the tree the same way, but you had to be careful with them because that sucker'd slide down the tree if you weren't holding just right. And so we went to the Warren and Sweat. And I had a Bow Hunter Special. Had a big, huge platform on it. Still scary as it can be to hunt out of, but that was my first climber. And then I went to, at the time, it was the Cadillac. My brother still swears by the tree lounge, but this thing, it was an API Predator. I still have it to this day, and I need to get it back in the woods. It's like sitting in a lawn chair.
Yes, it is.
Weighs about 25 pounds, and it's a pain in the butt to put up, so it's one you put on a stand. You don't want to walk in and out with it very much. You put it on a stand, and you leave it. It's made out of square tubing aluminum, but it is literally just like sitting in a lawn chair hanging on the side of the tree, and that's the most comfortable tree stand that I've ever hunted in. I hunt out of a Summit now, but...
How many deer do you think you killed out of that tree stand? Just give me a guess.
20, maybe. I haven't, you know, I've never been one on killing numbers. You know, I've hunted with a lot of guys that, I killed 15 this year, I killed 10. To me, you know, my family can only eat so much meat. And I don't pay the price for a lease and go up there and shoot deer just to give it away. We eat what we can what we can eat ourselves. We kill what we can eat ourselves.
I'm the same way, but I guess, you know, at the same time, I was taught that way.
Yeah.
I don't go up there just to shoot a bunch of deer.
I don't know how many times I've had people, why don't you shoot me a deer with you? Well, why don't you pay my lease?
You know, I read a thing the other day that said, if you got friends that hunt, the best way to get them to shoot you a deer is to buy them a rifle.
Yeah, you know, if somebody wanted to do that now, that's a different story. Yeah.
I'll shoot you whatever you want. You're going to buy me a rifle.
Buy me a rifle. Pay my lease. I'll shoot you a deer. You know, I enjoy bringing people into the woods. And I, the best times I had, you know, I hunted by myself and hunted with my buddies. But the best times I've had in the woods is hunting with my boys. Teaching them how to hunt. Being in the stand when they shoot their first deer. Watching me shoot a deer. Poor Jordan. He tells the story wrong, but it was actually too dark for him to shoot when I shot that 9-point. And Blakely, I always got teased because I'd go to the tree stand, and if I had needed to do something to my tree stand, I didn't care if I was hunting or not. I went up there one time. I was wanting to put a boat seat on my ladder stand so I could go and I'd sit more comfortably. So I carried my little cordless drill out to the woods with me. First thing in the morning, carried up in the stand. Screw that thing to the tree, put it down, sit down, and I ended up killing the doe. Another time I went up and was putting some blind material up in the stand, and this is when I was with Jordan. And
you're putting a screen up on the windows.
We was putting screen up on the windows. So we went out there, went out a little early, and carried a staple gun with me. Knocked, putting all that screen on. Getting right about deer 30. Buck steps out. And right where Jordan told me earlier, I need to cut that tree down because you can't see over there. And I said, we don't need to cut it down. If a deer's coming out, it's going to go past that tree anyway. I'll be dang, that deer come out and stopped right behind that tree. It turned and went back in the woods, and I was kicking myself. Jordan was like, I told you, you should cut that tree. I grabbed my grunt call, and I'm grunting and rattling and grunting and rattling. Right about dark 30, and this is after all that ruckus of stapling the screen to the stand, the little box stand we had. Deer 30, that getting dark, that dang same buck comes running out and stops right in the middle of the food plot. Jordan throws up his gun. I knew he only had a 40 millimeter scope. I said, there's no way you can see that deer. I could barely see it. I said, put your gun down, it's too dark. I threw mine up and shot it.
Well, at least you let him stay in the tree. You kicked me out and let me get about halfway down the ladder before you shot one.
Well, this is true. That happened too. But that was the hunt was over.
Evidently not. Get about halfway down the ladder. Come back up. Come back up. Come back up. Stop. 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 Boom.
I didn't want you to get too spoiled, you know.
Yeah.
Well, it wasn't quite as good as the first time that big buck stepped out in front of you, and I was sitting in the stand next to you.
And that is today why I still don't like hunting with a gun with a three-way safety. On or off.
Yeah. 20 yards in front of him. I'm gonna shoot it. Shoot it. Shoot it. There's no bullet in my gun. Yes, there is. The deer turned and ran. I shot and grazed it and it took off. Well, what he had done was flip the safety the wrong way. Ruger M77 got a three-way safety.
Yeah, you got full on where you can't work the bolt, half on where it's just the trigger safety, but you can still work the bolt and off. And I flipped it backwards instead of forwards.
But that 7mm 08 has killed some deer.
Yes, it has. It's
still killing deer to this day.
It could use a little TLC. But it's been around for quite a while. I killed my first deer with it. I killed my first few deer with it.
Yeah. Jordan killed his first deer with it. Killed a nice 10-point this year with it and a doe. So and several hogs. Yeah, that anybody starting out, it, you know, everybody I talk to, oh, get your son a 243, get him a 243, and I'm like, yeah, you know, 243, it's a good cartridge, but I want a little more meat thrown out there. So I went with a 7mm 08, and it doesn't kick much worse than a 243 for a young kid, but yet you're throwing that 7mm lead. So, you know, 243, yes, it killed a lot of deer. Yes, it's a good gun. I'm not denying that, but you got to hit it right.
You know, and
my opinion.
I mean, the 243's killed a lot of deer.
Oh, yeah.
And it really comes down to shot placement. But with today's firearms technology and everything, you really want to get kids out in the woods and you're worried about recoil. For starters, one, I have never once felt the recoil of a rifle when I shot a deer.
No.
Never. You give me an elephant gun, I still wouldn't feel it.
Well, I haven't shot that 45-70 at one yet, but I sure want to.
Yes.
I know shooting it at a target, you dang sure feel the recoil.
But it's really not that bad either for what it is.
No.
Not as bad as I kind of half expected
that's
it to be.
You know, that's like cutting my pinky finger off and shoving it in a casing.
That's a big bullet. That's plenty of meat going down range there.
That's the kind where you don't worry about the tree, you just shoot through it.
But you can take those same cartridges you're talking about, like the 7mm 08, and take even more recoil away from it by putting it in an AR-10.
Yeah.
Where it's going to absorb some of that recoil into the spring. And at that rate, you have next to no recoil whatsoever.
You know, you take your 7mm 08, you take a 308 and a 243, and you stand them side by side, and the cartridges are almost identical. It's just the size of the bullet.
The same parent case.
Yep.
Just different size bullets. And the 7mm 08, even for a grown man, that bullet itself there will reach out and kill deer in good range.
Yeah.
And you don't really need, not hunting here in the southeast, need a gun that's going to shoot 500, 600, 700, 800 yards. Because the majority, I would say an overwhelming majority, to 75 to 80% of your shots are inside of 100 yards. Not inside of 70 yards.
My buddy that I hunted with for years until he retired, and him and I hunted together from Ocala to Holopaw to Georgia. He always had a... He started out with a 30-06, and then he wanted a 300 Magnum. And I'm like, good God, what do you need something that big for? And Al was the type, he seen the body, he was shooting it. And I said, well, if you don't hit them, the percussion's going to knock them over. So, he got that Browning 300 Ultra, or 300 Magnum, we were sighting that thing in, and that was all I wanted was a couple shots off of it. And I'm like, hey, you could sight the rest of this. I'm not shooting that thing no more.
Yeah, Breyer hunts with a 7mm Win Mag. But I think I prefer him to be shooting something where if he hits body, it'll still take care of it. Because Breyer is about as blind as a bat. And
has he killed a deer?
Yeah, he's killed a deer.
Okay.
With
his truck or with a gun?
A little spike when he hunted in Florida.
Okay.
When he was younger. He hadn't killed a deer in some time. He's got about the worst of luck with seeing deer.
Yeah.
Being halfway up the ladder, rounding the corner, not having his gun, you know, one thing or another.
Oh, yeah.
But he's watched a few deer get away before he could get a shot over the past couple of years. Has been able to kill one.
What next did we get on?
We're getting off at
58-2.
Getting off of Highway 57.
Okay. Yeah, it 30-06, I've been hunting. I've got a Browning A-bolt 30-06 that I've been hunting with for years. I had a 7mm. In fact, Browning 7mm with a boss on it. I took it out to Colorado, shot an elk and a mule deer. But I got that 30-06. It's just a whole lot smaller and lighter gun. I still hunt with that 7mm every now and then, but the trusty 30-06 has been doing it.
So what's one of your funniest hunting stories, would you say?
Oh, man. The funniest hunting story has to be when Al shot a, I think it was an 8-point, and we were hunting in Brooksville, Georgia. And I'd been hunting this same stand. I came up early and left out Wednesday after work. Hunt took off Thursday and Friday, and he come up the weekend. And I sat to stand the buck box where Will killed his big 9-point out of. I'd been hunting that stand before he got there. I seen the deer. I knew it was there. I missed it with my muzzle loader. So I'm hunting this stand. Al comes up. And I said, yeah, go ahead and hunt the buck box. So I went on down the hill to the creek bottom. I hear him shoot. I'm texting him. He said, I said, what'd you shoot? He said, big buck. I think it was an 8-point. And I was like, God dang it. I mean, I was happy for him, but pissed off because I've been sitting there and, you know, that's normal. You move from that stand and somebody else goes in it and kills a deer.
Right.
And so, wow. He shot that buck. He got down and he looked around for it and he couldn't see it. He couldn't find it. He said, didn't find any blood. So when I got down out of my stand, I thought, if he shot that deer, it had to run out in the cut. So I walked along the creek bottom of the cut. We had a trail. And then there was another trail that came straight up to that stand. He done got out of the stand and went back to camp. He gave up. Didn't look that hard, obviously. I come walking up that trail, and that buck laid there probably 10 yards off the trail, about 20 yards off of the clearing that he'd been hunting, and was laying there dead. And I thought, I'm gonna fix him. So I looked at that deer and I drug it out to the trail. I popped a shot off with my gun and sit there with my phone in my hand just waiting. And it wasn't 15 seconds I get a text. What'd you shoot? I said an 8-point. So I got it all propped up, did me a little selfie with the 8-point, sent it back to him. I called Jordan. Jordan come out on the mule, picked me up and loaded it up. I never said a word. We got back to camp with that buck. And I'm telling my story. I'm making it big now. I come walking up that trail and I was just slipping up through there and there it was standing there behind a bush and I blew it. And I shot and it dropped. He's like, man, that's a deer I shot. That's the one I shot at. Blah, 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 blah.
Can't run it either.
It runs.
I don't have nearly as much invested though.
No, you don't.
That's it? Nobody's got nothing?
If you go out fishing or hunting, always try to make the best of what you do.
There you go.
Oh, have a good time.
Absolutely. Yeah. You can always have a good time. It always beats a bad day of fishing beats a good day at work.
For sure.
No two ways about that.
So, just get outdoors.
Unless your boat breaks down.
Yeah, unless your boat breaks down.
Still not that bad, though. I mean,
you had a good time tonight.
Yeah.
We've had a good time working on the boat, but one day it'll run when you put a new engine on it.
Drank over this boat in the garage.
And we got to be in a garage because there's a Florida cold front right now. It's below 50 degrees. We're all bundled up, nice and warm, right?
I got two jackets on.
Look at 72. I'm cold.
Well, hey. Tune in next week. Hit us up. Give us your tips and tricks and questions and whatever you got. Give us some topics to talk about. And if you've listened this long, you obviously like something. So wherever you're listening on, get over there. Reach to that far right-hand star. Give us a 5-star review. Because if you don't give us reviews, we can't compete with those other guys, Meat Eater and Steve Rinella and stuff like that. So we got to get up there, build that listener base. So until next week. If you stay long that long, you woo.
PVC.
And I've seen a lot of them built out of PVC. Mm-hmm. That's not uncommon to build feeders out of PVC pipe. We made some out of 55-gallon drums. But
yeah.
So we're coming to the end here. So Under Pressure Outdoors tip of the week, being as we're recording this on Valentine's Day, we'll talk about eating deer hearts and animal hearts, man. If you're not saving that heart when it isn't completely destroyed, you're missing out. I like to take mine, cut it up nice and thin, bread it, put it in a frying pan. Delicious. Briar, what do you got?
My Under Pressure Outdoors tip of the week is you can't kill them on the couch and you can't catch them on the couch. So that means is get outside. You wake up, you're going hunting, and you wake up in the morning and it's a bad morning to get out there anyways. You never know. That could be, you could kill the best buck of your life that morning. So get outside and get out, get with it.
The biggest buck I have ever seen in my life, and I missed him at 30 yards on a rainy afternoon.
That's my point, you know.
Yeah. With a bow. It's a tree limb's fault. I'll get into that story another day.
And before I throw my tip out there, I just want to add to yours that not even, you know, deer hearts, duck hearts.
Oh, just hearts in particular, hearts whatever in particular, you kill.
Yeah.
Never eat a pig heart.
I haven't tried pig heart. But hearts in particular, it's good. They're great. The duck hearts, we just sauteed
them. They kind of have the consistency of liver. They can be kind of chewy, but you can marinate that out and buttermilk and stuff like that.
Yeah.
But they don't taste like liver. I do not like liver at all. Blech, gross. Okay. But I like deer heart and duck heart. The way we did those duck hearts was really good. I want to pickle some duck hearts.
Yeah.
So. What's up at underpressureoutdoors@gmail.com. Shoot us an email. We will respond to you, and we will feature you on the podcast with your questions. We will, if I don't know the answer, I will find the answer for you. So, give us what you got. Give us a rating. If you've listened this long, you've obviously enjoyed some part of it. So, give us a 5-star. Help us compete with those meat eater guys and stuff like that. Get us up there.
I'd honestly love to do like a kind of like you were talking about with the bear hunter. I'd love to do some kind of debate podcast.
Oh,
So if you have an opposite opinion, let us know. Join us.
Absolutely.
One more thing. Following Outdoors.
We're gonna get those guys on too. I'm gonna try to
find, get a hold of them guys.
We are. So we'll talk about that next time.
And we need to get on some more of those trips with them guys.
Absolutely.
Well, me
don't
and you
forget,
can.
Don't forget, spring's coming in.
Turkeys are coming.
Deer still got to eat, too.
Yeah. Hey, yep. Eat until next deer. Time. We'll see you guys next. For the first time this year, he's 3, and that was the most fun I've ever had. Just getting him out there, he had a blast. And that's what it's about.
Yeah. And talk about getting people out there. Like, Matt's already contacted you, and you've got with Matt.
Yeah,
we're more than willing.